Going to talk some draft and some NBA with Steve Kyler of the Basketball Insiders, who joins us right now. Any surprises there for you on the first, second, or third team, Steve?
Not really. I think the interesting part of kind of the whole process is that Jimmy Butler got in. You know, Paul George didn't get in. Gordon Hayward didn't get in. So there were a couple that, you know, when we sat down, and certainly when I sat down and did my own vote, you know, the staples got in, the guys that had really good seasons got in, and then, you know, we had some guys, you know, one or two that were the bubble guys, and I think the better of the bubble guys got in as well.
Yeah, I think Hayward and George both had great seasons. I'm not sure who they would usurp or surpass on those lists. I guess Butler would be a bubble guy, and maybe DeRozan a bubble guy as well, but, you know, I think once you get down to that, then you start splitting hairs just a little bit. Again, I've no real issue. Gordon got some votes. Paul George got some votes as well, but didn't end up making the list. However, Rudy Gobert, who's just 23 years old, as much as all the drama over the next month and a half is going to be over Gordon Hayward staying here in Salt Lake City, they got Rudy signed up to that four-year, $100 million extension, which, by the way, last fall when he signed it, looked like a pretty big deal, especially coming off a pretty meh year before. That may look like a bargain by this time next year.
No question, especially now when you're talking about guys getting 25% of the salary cap against $101 million projected cap. And some of those guys, you know, especially the Gordon Haywards of the world, are going to get, you know, 30% of the cap. So things are getting really interesting on the financial front. Look, it's not a bad day to be tall. And again, I think that's why you see so many kids that were willing to come into the NBA draft and try their luck, because even if you get in at the minimum next year for some guys, $700,000, $800,000. So, you know, yeah, the Rudy Gobert deal, you know, and I think most of them, this is the thing I was kind of cautioning some people about with regards to the upcoming summer, is pretty much everyone who has signed a non-max early extension has usually outplayed it. The only exception would have been Larry Sanders with the Milwaukee Bucks, and then he ended up flaking out of the NBA. But even Giannis in Milwaukee, he signed for $100 million. He's a $120 million guy today. And Rudy Gobert, certainly by way of making all NBAs in the same boat.
Yeah, he had a fantastic season, and the Jazz are set in the middle for quite some time. All right, before we talk draft stuff, and I want to get to some of that stuff with the local guys like Kuzma and Mika and Frank Jackson with you, you're kind of a neutral outside observer. We here in Salt Lake City are all about Gordon Hayward returning and coming back because he's been here, he's the face of the franchise, so on and so on and so on. I can separate it a little bit, but I'm still one of those guys. I'm close to it here locally. You're a national NBA guy, Steve. There seems to be two places that are great fits this summer for Gordon Hayward. One of them being in Boston, and not even really because of the Brad Stevens thing. I've said this all along. He's played every bit as long with Quinn Snyder as he did with Brad Stevens at Butler. So that to me, sure, he's comfortable with both those coaches. He's the face of the franchise here, young team that's going to add some pieces this summer and hopefully take that next step in the West. Golden State's still here, probably not going to win the West anytime soon. In Boston, another team that's playoff ready. They're a little further along than the Jazz are. They're going to have the number one pick in the draft. But again, LeBron's still in the East. It's Boston versus Salt Lake. He's a Midwest kid, not a big city guy necessarily. He's spent his career here. You break it down for me, the pros and the cons, and in which way you think Gordon might lean this summer.
Well, I think the prevailing thought, you know, and again, having just gone through the combine process and listening to what teams think, not only of draft players, but what's going to play out in free agency and what some teams are potentially going to do in trade, the prevailing thought is that Gordon would like to stay in Utah. But I think what he wants to see is what else is going to happen. And that's kind of true of, I think, Paul George. I think it's true of most free agents. So some of this is going to be, what does Utah do? What do you do around the draft? You make some trades. You make this team a real bona fide contender, because careers are short. And that's going to be what plays out in this, is when and where is the best opportunity for Gordon to not only continue to be an all-star and play on a team that he likes to play on, or the coach he likes to play for, but how do you win? And when you look at what the Golden State Warriors are right now, is there anything the Utah Jazz are going to do in the short term to get in that hunt, to really get serious about that? So that's on Dennis Lindsay in the front office to make the team better. if that doesn't happen, then you get into that scary spot you don't want to be. And that's where you start, when he starts to look. And, you know, that's what the Boston Celtics are hoping for. You know, they just landed the top overall pick. They're going to have the ability to get to a max salary slot. They may have to give up somebody like Kelly Olynyk or Marcus Smart or give away some guys to do it. But then you start taking meetings, and that's what gets scary, because this time last year, the Oklahoma City Thunder thought they had Kevin Durant wrapped up, and they got to that point where they started to take meetings, and then it becomes a 50-50 proposition.
So as you look at both situations as an outsider, without knowing what's going to happen this summer, but knowing that the Celtics have the pick that they have, but not knowing about free agency, which spot do you think is a better spot right now for Gordon Hayward?
Well, you always have to do this. Be careful what you wish for. Sometimes the grass is greener because it gets, you know, whizzed on a bit more. It's not always better on a new team. There are no guarantees. You think about David West leaving, you know, what was it, $12 million of contract money to go to the Spurs and didn't get there. There are no guarantees that you go to the Boston Celtics and have any more success with the Celtics than you do with the Utah Jazz. In Utah, you know what you have. So there's a known factor, and known is comfortable, and comfortable can work. But, you know, to me, I like where the Jazz are. I like the Jazz's window. The problem with the Jazz's window is they're not going to be in the Golden State Warrior hunt for maybe two more years, three more years without something really breaking their way. How do you ask a guy to sign a 4 or 5 year deal when 3 years of them are going to be your home by mid-May?
What do you think about the possibility of short selling, kind of doing the LeBron model if you're Gordon Hayward, and signing the 2 year deal with maybe an option after that to make sure they keep the team competitive?
Yeah, you know, there's always that. You can put the pressure, but, you know, if you're Gordon Hayward, and I think when you look at historically players like Gordon Hayward that kind of pop and get into that all NBA discussion, they can fall out and disappear just as quick. You know, we're not talking about Gordon in the same breath as LeBron. He's not a surefire all-NBA, and everybody's an injury away from being an afterthought. So sometimes you have to kind of lock in that security when you can get it, and that's why this is not an easy decision, because you are going to probably sign a four-year deal. Look, you can get some options and some trade kickers and some things that help you control the process, but the truth of it is you're signing the longer-term deal, because also, unlike LeBron, you know, LeBron was looking to cash in on a ballooning salary cap situation. The cap in the NBA isn't going to go up as dramatically as we saw it the last year, really last 2 years. We saw the, you know, the cap coming up this year isn't going to be as big as everybody thought it was even last year. So, again, no guarantees on what the financial landscape looks like going forward. And if you're Gordon Hayward, you got to lock in when you can. And the beauty of that is the Utah Jazz can offer more money and more years than anybody else in a situation you really like. So there's a bonus there. But like I said, I don't think it's a given. I know people in Utah don't like to hear it, but the truth of the matter is Gordon's likely going to go shopping. You just got to hope that your pitch is better than the next guy.
Talking to Steve Kuyler here from Basketball Insiders. You find him on Twitter, at Steve Kuyler NBA. A week ago, we talked as the combine was beginning, Steve, and then you spent a few days in Chicago. what jumped out at you? Who really helped themselves over a couple of days? I know that if you talk to Kevin Durant, he doesn't think much of the combine, but it wasn't ever going to impact a guy like Kevin Durant. I think the combines, and I don't think the NFL combine does either, but it can help guys that are a little further down the rung and maybe have a little bit more time to have to impress coaches and front office guys. So who helped themselves last week?
Yeah, you're dead on. The combine is not for guys that are going to get drafted in the top 15. It's the guys that are going to get drafted in the bottom 15. It's the guys trying to get a workout, trying to get a team to look at them a little differently. And, you know, close to home for you, guy Kyle Kuzma, Kuz did well for himself. Played the first game, played really well, shut it down for the second game. He's got a full dance card. He's got, you know, 15, 16 teams that want to bring him in and work him out. So now it's on him. It's on him to go in and kind of make his mark, and he's done it. You know, he had a workout here just this week in Orlando and absolutely crushed from what I understand. So that's what these kids are looking for, is the opportunity to maybe show, especially, you know, when you're talking about side-by-side comparison. You know, head-to-head is great when you're playing college, but if you're on a team that's not real competitive, is that really a true test of who you are as a player? The head-to-head is where some of these guys really, really excel. And then the other part, too, is the NBA game is different than college. It's faster, more space, more physicality. It's about precision, elite skills. Can you show off things in this environment that maybe your college program didn't let you? So I think that's really what a lot of these kids were looking to do. And I think for the most part, the guys that played 5-on-5 in Chicago really did well. I don't think there was anybody that was like, wow, that guy was terrible. You know, everybody kind of did and was what they were. And a lot of guys scored the ball well and played well. So it was a good combine in that you really got to see guys compete. And for the most part, especially when you're talking about guys like, you know, P.J. Dozier and guys that maybe were second options on their college team, you know, they get a chance to come out and show. There's a big 7'2 French kid, Jean Jean, rail thin. He played well. So, you know, even the guys that maybe the scouts kind of snickered at from the eye test got on the floor and showed they could play.
Kuzma in particular was a guy that most people thought going into the combine was probably a late second round guy. Again, from what you do, the evaluations, how much did he help himself in Orlando? And as he continues to work out for the Magic and others, where do you think, do you think he's made himself a real draftable product and maybe mid to early second round now?
Yeah, I think he's a draft pick. I think that we've seen enough in the hype around him is enough that he's in consideration. I'd be pretty surprised if he goes undrafted. You know, the real question is, can you go in the next 20 picks? You know, the first 30 picks get a guaranteed contract. 31 through 45 usually get a chance to come to training camp. So if you're outside that 41-45 range, you might get drafted, but you might spend your entire rookie year in the D League and maybe never get a shot at making real money. So, you know, there's a real risk there. But like I said, I think Kuz did well for himself. His name was one of the names you heard teams talking about. And I think the one thing you want to do in the process is get people talking about you. Because if they're talking about you, they'll go back and look at that game film. If they like the game film, they're going to bring you into a workout.
What do the NBA teams like most about Kyle Kuzma, Steve?
Well, there's a lot of versatility there. I think that, you know, still a lot of potential in his game. You know, the challenge in the draft process is it's just absolutely brutal to seniors. Like, you don't see seniors getting drafted or real serious draft consideration. You know, even juniors, you know, are struggling. You know, Melo Trimble just, you know, guys are in there, he's not going to get drafted. And 2 years ago, Melo Trimble was somebody they were talking about as maybe a late first-round pick. So, you know, the fact that there's still a lot of potential and a lot of growth available in his game, I think that you're seeing that. And, again, he's an NBA-styled player in terms of his physical approach, his knack with the basketball. You know, like a lot of young players, there's a lot of room to work. But there's something to work with there, and I think that's what teams are. And he's a good kid. I think that's the other part, too. He interviewed incredibly well. You know, the teams that didn't really understand him or know him or have a lot around that really liked him, I talked to probably six teams that met with him. So he did really well in the room, and that's another part of it, too.
Is Eric Mika going to get drafted?
Yeah, that one's the long shot. I think more likely, and there were some Eric Mika jokes, you know, from the NBA group. And, you know, every year you see a guy that's just a step slower than everybody else and just, you know, what's that guy doing here? But he's probably a D-League player, and that's a way in. I think when you look at Jonathan Simmons from San Antonio Spurs, you know, that guy literally started his career paying $150 for an open tryout. And he'll probably get $40 million this year in free agency. So there's a way in through the D-League. But, you know, Eric Mink is going to have a long night on draft night. He might want to do something other than watch TV.
And finally, Frank Jackson's a local kid. Didn't play college here, but he grew up and went to high school here. He was part of that Lone Peak crew. Ended up going to Duke. And he said he's staying in. He's hiring an agent. And, you know, he didn't probably get as much time as he could have or should have as his freshman at Duke. But it seemed like coming out of the combine and some of the early workout buzz has been pretty good about Frank Jackson.
Yeah, he did well for himself, very much so. And again, big, strong, physical guy. Again, game film at Duke, probably not representative of really who he is as a player. But in a league that is starved for point guards and certainly backup point guards, he gets interesting. He gets interesting because guys like, you know, Edmund Sumner, the kid from Xavier, is an incredible talent. Towards ACL, probably won't play until February or March. based on what he told me. So, you know, when you're talking about a guy you can draft, put on the floor, very well coached, you know, he came from Duke, you know, he understands the process, you know, in terms of being a workman in what you do. So again, I think he's a guy that's more bubble into the second round. You know, will he come off the board before 50? You know, those are all things that I think he's heard enough and heard enough in the process to think that he's draftable to stay in. But again, he's another guy. If he doesn't get drafted, he's playing in a D-League next year. And like Yogi Ferrell with the Dallas Mavericks, he'll get a call up and somebody's going to have him on the roster by the end of the season. He's got enough ability to be there.
How much can a guy really move, you know, help his stock now over the next month before the draft, Steve? I mean, can you make a legitimate big leap, or are you just going to, you know, maybe help yourself incrementally?
Well, I can give you some history on it. Amon Shumpert, when he started the draft process several years ago, was ranked 82, went 16. You know, Terry Rozier, depending on whose mock draft you were looking at, top 100 list, was a 50s, 60s player, went through the process, got drafted 16 by the Boston Celtics. So you can make a jump, because sometimes your game film isn't representative of who you are. And if teams really kind of are open-minded about it, some teams will fall in love. You know, it wasn't like Terry Rozier had 17 other teams that were looking at him. It was the Boston Celtics and the Chicago Bulls, and that's what you need. You need two teams to fall in love, and which one's willing to move up or move around to make sure they get you. So it's not a process of trying to convince 14 teams that you're good enough, so the 13th team will take you. You just want the team holding 14 to fall in love with you, because that's where you got to be. So it really is not so much jumping up as much as finding the team that really likes you. And I say this to young guys all the time. If they like you, they'll play you. If they play you, they'll pay you. Don't worry about the number. So you got to find that perfect fit, because fit makes your career.
His stuff is fantastic. You find it at Basketball Insiders. You follow him on Twitter. If you don't, you should. At Steve Kuyler NBA. Steve, thank you, sir. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Anytime, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Steve Kuyler with us here on the Bill Riley Show.